Ladies and gentlemen, we are in a war zone. In fact, the Holy Spirit is calling for prayers. You know, I thought I would just finish out the book of James and I would do the prayer thing later. And I was thinking about it yesterday and the Holy Spirit began to impress upon me that, look, the book of James can wait, but you got to do this prayer now. Ha! Hallelujah. So I said, well, okay, we're going to do it. You know, so today we're going to do an old fashioned prayer fire room. That's right. You heard it. Yeah. Praise the Lord. You know, people don't like to pray too much anymore these days. You know, everything is so, you know, quick. Some call it the microwave Christian life. You put it in, 10 seconds later, it's done, and you move on. That's not going to work. You know, I've got to pray and pray and pray. So I'm going to give us a word today about prayer, but we're going to do more of it. Praise the Lord. So get ready. Hallelujah. We're going to be praying for our nations. And so I want you to, I told you yesterday, we're going to be ready to pray for. And I didn't say it was going to be today. I thought I would do it on Saturday. But we were doing it today. And just like we started yesterday, we put up the flag for your nation. And we're going to pray over those nations. But that's not all we're going to pray over today. We're going to pray over a lot of things. There's warfare going on in the spirit. And the Holy Spirit is calling for some prayer warriors to get up. And it's not only when we are in the prayer room, you know. Every room should be a prayer room. In fact, Jesus said, my house shall be called the house of prayer of all nations. Praise the Lord. You know, so, you know, I know we've been doing a lot of teaching and bringing the word of God and so forth, you know, but don't you ever forget that prayer time is just as important, you know, perhaps even more, you know, so, you know, that's what we're going to do just in case. People are coming in today and expecting some more of your teaching. We'll get back to that. It's time for everything. You know, we're here every day, so there's no, you know, the book of James will continue when it does. But right now, we're going to pray this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for everyone that you brought in the room with us today. Glory to God. We thank you that we are ready and we are fired up. We're strapped on our prayer garments, ready to pray. And Lord, we're going to call upon the name of the Lord. And also, we know that every time we hear your word, scripture says the entrance of your word brings light and gives understanding to the simple. Let that light shine our hearts today. Teaching us what we need to know, even at this hour, what the Spirit is saying, the urgency that is in the spirit realm. We give you, Lord, the praise and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I want to talk about prevailing prayer for just a bit and, you know, prayer fire, you know, and we're going to do some things. You look up at the topic on the room today, root out, pull down, destroy, and throw down. You know, we really want the kingdom of God to be planted, builded, and planted, and extend. But you got to do some of these four things first. So let's pick up the today's lesson, you know, just one or two verses out of the book of Jeremiah chapter 1, where the Lord told Jeremiah this very thing that we use for the title of this, of today's room, when he called him. It was a young man. And the young man was trying to make excuses before the Lord. So let's just read a little bit from verse 6. Well, actually, let me read it from verse 4. Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, this is Jeremiah 1 and verse 4. Before I formed thee, in the womb or the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Isn't that beautiful? Now, this is not a man-made prophet. This is not somebody that was ordained by men. This is somebody that God is telling us that I myself ordained you. Praise the Lord. Let me digress a little bit and talk about the divine ordination. You know, let's talk about that. I know we have our various church organizations and different things that do ordain people, and that's okay. You know, but let's see what Jesus said about it in the book of John, chapter 15 and verse 16. This is the way that Jesus does it. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. That's right. You know, so it's not something we wanted. I mean, you did not choose your calling. You can't choose to want to be a prophet. You can't choose to want to be an apostle. You can't choose to want to be a pastor. People do, but that's not the way that God does it. I, the Lord said, have chosen you and ordained you that you should go forth and bring forth fruit. Now, your ordination is not for positioning. Yeah, so some people think their ordination is so that people will know that they are a pastor, they're a prophet, they're a teacher, they're an apostle. Well, that was not what Jesus said. Jesus said, look, I ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit. By their fruit, you will know them. Now, if they're doing the fruit of the title that they're claiming, which really is just a title, you know, the way people claim it, but that's not what God intended it. These are things, offices that people, God put people into to bring forth the work of the ministry. What we do, it's not what we are called by, you know. Now, if you bring forth the fruit, then so be it, you know. But he says, look, I have chosen you and I have ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit. And God put a blessing on that fruit even before you started. He said, your fruit should remain. Hallelujah. And when you do all of that, you are walking in the calling of the Lord and doing his will like that. He said that whatsoever ye ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. So that's another secret to how you get things from God. You stay in the calling of the Lord and you do what he called you to do. Not about title, you know, not about, you know, some man putting some label on you or some organization or some school. I mean, we have schools of ministry today and they do a really good job, you know, and, you know, they prepare people for ministry and so forth. And, you know, afterwards, you know, you might even get a degree or certification or ordination of sorts. Well, unless you're ordained by the Holy Spirit, that may just be something, you know, for you to flash, carry a badge. It may not be what God actually, you know, called you into. But, you know, whatever we can do to help people, to teach them and train them, that's all good. I'm not knocking that. You know, that's all good. Somebody's got to help somebody. You know, so people got help. I mean, Samuel, when he was a little boy, he didn't know the voice of the Lord, and he got help from Eli. You know, when the Lord would call him, he didn't know, and he would run to Eli, and the Lord, you know, Eli would say, no, I didn't call you, go back to sleep. And then he would run again when the Lord called him the next time, and, you know, this thing happened multiple times. Finally, Eli figured it out. He said, well, the Lord must be calling this young man. So he taught him what to do, how to know the voice of God, and how to respond. You know, so we can be taught, you know, those things. You know, the school of prophets, the school of this and that. And we can be taught those things. You can't make anybody a prophet, you know, but you can teach them how to respond to God's calling. Just like Eli helped, you know, Samuel. And this Samuel became a great prophet. But at first he started out fumbling around, you know, so people can be taught. So we're not knocking that. However, you know, the things, Jesus said, the things that are highly esteemed among men. He said, these things are an abomination to God. You know, according to Luke chapter 16 you know, and verse 15, you know, he said, look, that which is highly esteemed among men is an abomination in the sight of God. What are the things that we highly esteem in ministry, especially in Christendom? Titles, the title of apostle, the title of prophet, the title of pastor. You know, some of these titles. I mean, we don't see anybody, you know, flouting the title of teacher generally. And that one is not glamorous enough. But apostle is, pastor is, prophet is, you know, and so on. So, but look, forget those things. When we come in the house of the Lord, when we come in the body of Christ for the work of the ministry, we are all one. You may indeed be an apostle. God may indeed have called you to be a prophet or a pastor or whatever. That's cool. Show us the fruit thereof. You know, that's it. Said that you will go forth and bear fruit. The fruit of your ordination. That's what we want to see. Not some title we carry around. So anyway, back to the call of God in Jeremiah's life. I thought I'd just throw that out there. Back into the call in Jeremiah's life. The Lord said, look, I have called you and I ordained you. Even before you were born, the Lord said, I knew you. Glory to God. You know, and he said, look, you know, I haven't set you forth to be a prophet. You know, and the boy, the young man, he began to complain and say, ah, Lord God, I cannot speak, for I'm a child. And you know, the people that have the true calling of God on their life, many times I've seen in the scriptures, they often think that they are not capable, you know. And they don't go around, you know, bragging about it too much when the Lord first called them. Sometimes they're trying to run away from the calling. Sometimes they think they can't do it, you know. And then, but that's exactly who the Lord calls. You know, the Lord doesn't want to call anybody who thinks he's full of himself and he's, you know, he's the best thing, you know, that ever happened, or, you know, he's all that, you know. Well, the Bible says we have this treasure in earthen vessels, you know, so that the excellency of the glory might be of God and not of us. You know, the treasure, the calling, the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And let me explain that for a minute even more. Holy Spirit said, explain that. You know, the 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7. This treasure that is in earthly and earthen vessels, the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. You know, it's not of us. It's God in us that's doing these things. And so we've got to recognize that, you know, we're not, you know, we're just a vessel, you know, in his hands, you know. So, you know, don't make too much about it. You know, God can of these stones raise up children to Abraham. God can do anything he wants. Don't begin to go, you know, John the Baptist, you know, people will say, well, we are children of Abraham. We are this and that. We are the elect. We are the bride. We are the cream of the crop. We are this and that. But say, bring forth the fruits thereof. Not some title that you write on your head or your phylacteries or your garments. Show forth the fruit, you know. And they say, well, we are this and we are that. So, okay. But God can raise up stones if he wants to. I don't want any stone to take my place. Do you? No stone is taking my place. Hallelujah. But if we're not careful, you know, the Lord said, repent or else I'll come to you quickly and remove your candlestick. You know, so we got to repent of all the ideas that don't glorify God. You know, the Lord said, look, he that glorieth, let him glory in this one thing, you know, that he knoweth me, saith the Lord, you know. And that's what God wants us to do. Let's not glory in our works. Let's not glory in our achievements, you know. But let us glory in the fact that we know the Lord. And the Lord is the one that's getting the glory, you know. So this is the thing that God wants you to know today and wants all of us to know as we get into this lesson. I'm going to just show this part before, before we get to it. You can read Jeremiah chapter 9 and verse 24.
You're muted.
He that glorieth, let him glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, saith the Lord, that I am the Lord which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. This is what we should glory in. Praise the Lord. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. And that's a good memory verse for us to learn. Jeremiah 9 and 24. If you want to glory in anything, I'll glory in that. So we'll not glory in titles. We'll not glory in the works of our hands or our achievements, but we'll glory in that. So anyway, God called Jeremiah and told him, and Jeremiah, he tried to get out of it. I'm a boy, I can't speak, and so forth. But listen to God's response. So those of you that might have the mandate, everybody has a calling in their lives. You got to figure out what it is. And, you know, listen to what God said to Jeremiah when he was trying to get out of it. Can't get out of your assignment. Jonah tried to. He ran away from the presence of the Lord. He didn't want to do it. Well, you can't do it. You are going to do it. Praise the Lord. You know, so Jeremiah also said, well, I can't do it. You know, I can't speak. I'm a child and all that. And the Lord said, no, don't even say that. Because if you say that, well, let's read what the Lord said to him. You know, after he said, I cannot speak, the Lord said, don't say that. The Lord said unto me, say not that I am a child, for thou shalt surely go to all that I shall send you, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Do not be afraid of their faces, for I am with thee, to deliver thee, saith the Lord. And then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. Remember the branding, Holy Ghost branding upon that electric tongue. He has to do it. You know, he did it for Jeremiah. He did it for Isaiah. He has to brand their tongues, you know, to put them out there. You know, and he said, behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. Hallelujah. Now, has the Lord put his words in your mouth? Well, let's see what the Lord says about that. In the book of Isaiah, did the Lord say that he has put his words in our mouth or not? Yeah. Isaiah 59 and verse 21. As for me, this is my covenant with them, saith the Lord. My spirit that is upon thee. Now, do you have the Holy Spirit? Well, and my words that I have put in your mouth. Has the Lord put his words in your mouth? Well, absolutely. Shall not depart out of thy mouth, and out of the mouth of thy seed, and out of the mouth of thy seed, seeds forever, the Lord said. You know, so we must continue to declare the word of God, teach it to our children, teach it to their children, and so forth, down through the generations. Now, the Lord said, he said to Jeremiah, I put my words in your mouth, and you're going to go out there, and you're going to do what I want you to do. But here, this is how you start. You know, there was a mission, and God had to explain it to Jeremiah, and I'm going to explain it to us today. And he said, look, I have this day set thee over the nations. How can you set a young man over the nations? Is he going to go and sit physically in their capital? You know, in all of these capitals all together, how many places can he sit at once? You know, I mean, you know, in how many nations of this world can you be in their capital as the, say, president or leader or whatever all at once? You can only be in one place. Well, this is a spiritual calling. It's a spiritual assignment. And by this, we understand that when you are in the realm of the spirit, where it is called, you know, sitting in Christ in heavenly places, far above principalities. You know, the position that we have in Christ, which many of us don't recognize, is actually above kingdoms and above all these things. You know, so, but because we don't know who we are, you know, one time the seven sons of Sceva said, You know, we adjure you in the name of Jesus Christ, whom Paul preaches. Come out of there. And the man with the devil inside of him responded and said, come out of there. Well, Paul, I know. Jesus, I know. But who are you? And he pounced upon it. And these people were, you know, trying to do some religious good deed. They thought to exorcise the devil out of this person. I mean, they said, well, we can cast out devils. We've seen it done. We've heard it done. Well, let's cast out some devils. The devil said, no, I'll cast anything out. I know Jesus and I know Paul, but who are you? See, so if you're not known and you don't even yourself know who you are, I mean, the devil asked them, who are you? They couldn't respond. You know, were they able to respond? Of course not. You know, so they didn't even know who they were. All they knew was Jesus and all they knew was Paul. Well, yeah, there is Jesus and there is Paul. You know, but who are you? You know, so, and you are you. You're not Jesus. You got Jesus in you. And you're not Paul. You're never going to be Paul. But you are you. And no, we've got to know who we are. And Paul said, by the grace of God, I am who I am. You know, I came in born out of season. You know, I persecuted the church and all of that stuff. I did it ignorantly in unbelief. But when it pleased God to reveal his son in me, he said, look, I did not even one moment confer with man. That's right. You know, but I immediately went up and sought the Lord. Glory to God. You know, so, but here is the mission. I have put you over the nations, he said. And there are some things I want you to do. One, to root out. And that's the title of the room today. To pull down, to destroy, and to throw down. We got to do those four things first before you can build and plant. You know, so the ultimate thing that God wants to do is to set up his kingdom, not only, you know, in heaven, that's already there, but extend it to earth and establish it in the lives of people and so on and so forth. But to do that today, it's an uphill battle because the devil is sitting pretty and, or so he thinks. In fact, he told Jesus, look, all these things are delivered unto my hand at the time. And Jesus didn't argue, but he said, look, I can even give it to you. You know, all of this, all you got to do is bow down, because the Lord would never do any such thing. But now today we see that Jesus has gone. He said, I'm he that liveth and was dead and I'm alive forevermore. And behold, now I have the keys of hell and death. Jesus has gone to the grave, gone to wherever the devil thought he had prisoners and everything, taking captivity captive, whooped the devil, got back the kingdom, as Jesus told the parable himself. He said, the kingdom of God is like a man that went forth to receive a kingdom. So Jesus has done it. Now, we must enforce it. Now, but the devil still keeps creeping in, creeping in, creeping in. We've got the, you know, I mean, even when you're trying to do some good, Jesus told one of the churches, he said, look, I know where you are, you know, where you're right there in the seat of Satan. You're right there, you know. So no matter where we are today, you know, some deceit of Satan has taken hold. You know, gross darkness and darkness has taken hold. We got to arise with the light of God. You know, usually there's darkness all over the place. But God commands the light to shine out of darkness. At first, there was even darkness upon the face of the deep. In Genesis chapter 1, you know, darkness was there before the Lord called the light out. So there's nothing too amazing for us to know that we have to deal with darkness. The darkness was there first. And then God called the light to shine. Of course, God was that light. So in the real sense, the Lord was there before the light, but in the realm of the earth, it was dark when he first created it, because some things happened that were not exactly revealed to us in Genesis chapter 1 and 2. But we know that it was darkness, and then God began to call the light out of darkness. And so we got to deal with that darkness. We have got to pull, we got to root out, we got to pull down, we got to destroy, and we got to throw down. You know, sometimes when you are dealing with some very difficult weed in your garden, You can't just go there or in your yard. You can't just go there and just cut the thing at the head. You got to root it out, because you just cut it, it's going to grow again. Unless it's the kind of grass that you want and you're just leveling it. But if you really want to get rid of it, you're going to have to go to the root of it. You know, that's why people say, let's get to the root of this thing. You know, and this scripture is behind many things that we do today. People say when they're trying to solve a problem, even in technology, we're still talking about it. Even yesterday on my job, I was still dealing with two cases where we're looking for root cause analysis. You got to get to the bottom of the thing. You know, you got to get to it. You know, this is it. This is what came from this scripture right here. You got to root it out. You can't just cut it from the head. You can put a band-aid on it, but you got to go to the bottom of that wound and figure out what's causing it in the first place. And that's what root out means. So we got to understand. And there's no one better than the Holy Spirit. And he gives us discerning of spirit, the gift called discerning of spirits, that you can look and you can see. And thus we can reveal the walking of the devil. Not only will the walking of the devil, we can also reveal the walkings of good spirits and good angels. You know, but, you know, God gives us inspiration to see. You know, if you, Lord lets you see into how things work in the spirit realm, you can see both good and evil. And there are some things creeping in into our territory. And some of the things have already crept in. Sadly, crept in into the church. You know, not only in the world we already know we have to deal with, you know, but the church is even, I mean, a greater problem, because people don't realize, you know, the infiltration, you know, that has happened. And the devil, you know, trying to make the church, you know, they make themselves, they don't want to be like the world, and they lose their power. Praise the Lord. I read a story that, you know, in the days of the emperors of Porphyria, you know, there were many of them, Constantine and the rest of it, you know, when such a man came in and so forth. I read that I didn't verify the story, if it's true or not, but there, you know, there's some lesson in it. You know, that's from his father told him, look, you know, the more they kill these Christians, the stronger they get. You know, so don't try to kill them. Just bring them in, give them titles, give them positions, you know, set them in places of authority, and they will lose their identity. You know, told them, gave them a strategy, and said, because you know, they could throw the Christians to the lions. The more you throw them to the lions, the stronger they become. Everybody got stronger. They were encouraged and they were stronger. And they tried to kill them, behead them, do all kinds of things. It didn't stop them. So the devil gave them strategy. He said, well, you can't stop them that way. The way to stop them is bring them in, make them feel good, you know, and align them and so forth. Give them titles, give them good things. And pretty soon they'll forget who they are. Well, ladies and gentlemen, this thing has crept into the church. So there are some things that we need to deal with today. We're going to deal with the nations. So that's why yesterday we said, look, you're going to represent your nation. Whether it's the nation where you reside, which is always a good thing. But the Lord told them, look, wherever you are, and, you know, seek the peace of that city. For in their peace, you have peace. Or the nation of your nativity, where you were born, just like Nehemiah said before the king. So why will I not be sad? You know, when, you know, the nation of my nativity lies in ruins, and the place, you know, that I grew up in, and everything is destroyed. You know, I said, because the king said, well, this is nothing but sorrow of heart. He said, yeah, but that's a reason for being sad. You know, so we have responsibility to the nation where we live. We have responsibility to the nation where we came from. In the book of Matthew chapter 11 and verse 12, we're also going to pray for the kingdom of God, expansion of the kingdom of God. He said, look, take that kingdom by violence. This is not just reciting a few words in prayer. You know, it's, we're talking about fervent, effectual prayer. James chapter 5 and verse 16. It talks about fervent, effectual prayer. And let me give us a quick few examples about those kind of prayers. In Jacob's example, in Genesis chapter 32, we see from verses 24 to about 30 how Jacob wrestled with God and prevailed. There was an angel of the Lord that he met, and he said, look, tonight nobody's going anywhere until you bless me. And the angel kept telling, let me go. He said, no. You know, some of those days the angel would appear unto them in theophany like that. God can appear in that form too. He can. Because at the end we're told that thou hast wrestled with God and prevailed. You know, so, and the Lord gave him actually, you know, the skill to do that. Everything we have comes from God. But this was a man that wouldn't turn loose. Now, can you pray like that and not turn loose? You know, and sink your teeth in. I mean, ye that make mention of the Lord, give him no rest, you know, until, you know, he established the thing that you are praying for. You know, that's right. You know, this is the way that we are supposed to pray. That's what God told us to do. The scripture exhorts us many times. Isaiah 62 and verses, you know, 6 and 7. Ye that make mention of the Lord, give him no rest, you know, until he establish and make Jerusalem a praise in the earth. Well, Jerusalem is not the only place, you know, that was there. Where, what is your Jerusalem? You know, why should you give, you know, why should you give the Lord rest when your own Jerusalem is not at rest? You know, the Lord told them, he said, look, but you shall receive the Holy Ghost. Ha, power. You shall receive power after the Holy Ghost come upon you. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. And you shall go first, you know, be witness unto me first in Jerusalem. Well, that's where they lived at the time. So there's always our Jerusalem. And yours is where you live right now. So we're going to pray for our cities and our nations. You know, God said, look, I'm looking for a man to make up the hedge and to stand in the gap. And if I don't find any, then destruction is coming. You know, so, and sometimes destruction comes because, you know, God can't find a man to make up the hedge or stand in the gap, you know. But listen, the Lord is putting, you say, well, you know, I don't have the ministry of intercession. Well, yes, you do. We are all called to, you know, pray, to prayer. You may not carry it as a title, like, you know, some may have it, you know, a calling that's stronger and anointing, you know, differently and so forth. But all of us are called. Holy Ghost in us can make intercession for things that we don't understand. You know, and if you have the Holy Spirit, we're told that the Holy Spirit himself makes intercession within us with groanings that we can't understand. You know, sometimes when the Lord brings something into your mind, you don't understand, you begin to pray in the Spirit. And that might be the Holy Ghost praying for something that you don't know. I mean, we all are called to do that. You know, but there are some things we know, and there are some things we need to pray about. And so God told us, you know, gave us these examples. We've talked about Elijah, how he prayed fervently for rain. Elijah, First Kings 18, verses 41 to 46. You know, we've talked about, you know, I mean, these people were people of prayer. You know, they knew how to pray, you know, to, you know, get rid of oppressing and forces. There's a story in Daniel chapter 10 that gives us an insight into what's happening sometimes when we pray. And sometimes when you pray these casual, you know, prayers, well, you may not understand what is going on. You know, there was a time that Daniel, in Daniel chapter 10, you know, he was praying for 21 days, seeking the Lord with, you know, fasting and so forth. And, you know, but he did not know until the end that, you know, there was something resisting his prayer. You know, so from that lesson, we understand that there may be forces resisting our prayer, and you got to really get in there. You know, we can't just do this casual pass by, drive through prayer or whatever they call it these days. That's not going to work. In the book of, you know, so you can read that story in Daniel chapter 10. Many of you know this story. I'm not stopping to read these stories. I'm just going very quickly. From verse 2 to about 14, you'll see the reason, you know, why we must pray fervently. Because the angel told him, look, from the first day that you set your heart to understand and to chasten yourself before the Lord, thy words were heard, and I come for thy words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. All those time you were praying, your prayer was already heard, but I was withstood. So, ladies and gentlemen, there can be some withstanding forces. Although we have, a greater authority now. Nevertheless, we will see what's going on behind the scenes. Jesus himself told us in Luke chapter 18, verses 1 to 8, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. He gave examples, of constantly asking until you get what you are wanting. You know, the woman who was constantly coming in and would not be discouraged and so on and so forth, that's a powerful illustration of Jesus himself saying it. He says, see what the unjust judge said, who wouldn't listen to this woman for a time. But then finally, he said, look, the only way to get rid of this woman is for me to do what she wants. Otherwise, she's going to wear me out. And Jesus said, look at this man. Look at what happened. He didn't care about this woman. He wasn't a righteous person. But the only way, to get his peace back was to answer the woman. He said, therefore, learn a lesson from that. So Jesus is teaching us that, look, if whatever you want to call it, you want to call it put a bug in God's ear, you want to call it bug him until he responds to you, call it anything you want, but don't quit. Keep on praying. That's right. That's what Jesus is telling us, until you get what you want. He told us another story in Luke chapter 11, verses 5 to 8. He said, look, there was a man one day, went to his friend, his neighbor's house and knocked and said, look, I have a visitor that came in from out of town, stores are now closed. I can't go and get him something. I didn't have anything ready in the house. I need a few loaves. I'll give it to you in the morning. And he knocked. And the man said, go away. My children are asleep. I can't, get up and answer you. But the man kept knocking. And Jesus said, look, the only way for the man on the inside to get his peace, because he doesn't want his children to be woken up. Well, the man outside is not going to stop knocking. So you better get up quickly. Not because he's your friend. These stories are in the Bible, ladies and gentlemen. Let me read it to you. He said, look, he said, the man from within shall answer and say, trouble me not. And my door is now shut. This is Luke chapter 11. I'm reading at verse 7. My children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give you. And Jesus said, look, I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend. take a note of that. Yet because of the man's persistence that's at the door, causing importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he wants, because that's the only way to get rid of him. And Jesus told all these stories. What does that mean? That means you stay right there. You sink in your teeth like a bulldog, like a pit bull, and you don't let go until God gives you what you want. That's it. Well, there are some prayer helpers too that we have covered many times in this room, how to get your prayers and your declarations answered. But, today I'm just going to deal on how we need to pray through. Hallelujah. You got to pray through. Jesus himself, Luke chapter 22, from verses 40 to about 46, we see an illustration of Jesus in prayer that many of us don't consider too often. He was in agony. He prayed like no man's business until sweat from his head was dropping down like blood. Have you prayed like that? Have you resisted sin to the shedding of blood? Have you prayed until blood is coming out of your head like sweat? Have you done it? Well, Jesus did. He had to pray through to get the pearl of gold of great price, which is you and me sitting here today. Jesus had to wrestle for that thing, boy. And sure he did. And there were forces of hell and death and everything that he had to fight through, and the darkness and everything that was coming, and he knew it. He knew how to go in that grave. He knew what he had to do and all of that. He knew how to be separated from the Father. He knew it. And he had to pray through that stuff. And my goodness, did he ever pray? Until blood was coming out of his head. This is Jesus. You would have thought that, look, this thing was settled from before the world began. He was already the lamb slain before. He already knew what he needed to do. This was done. It's a done deal. Just come on in here, come down from heaven with guns blazing and everything and turn everybody's hearts back. No, that didn't work. And that was not the way it did. Jesus had to learn many things, go through many stuff, just like us, 30 years in preparation, and grow up just like everybody. His life was in jeopardy at times, trying to kill him when he was a baby and so on. And finally, you know, when he was ready, Holy Ghost come upon him and so forth. And he learned every day out there early, rising early before daytime in prayer. Before even the disciples got up, he was there. And Jesus showing us how to do it. Praise the Lord. You know, so ladies and gentlemen, you know, we must pray. Prayer is so powerful. People have said a prayerless Christian is a powerless Christian. Well, you know, I think it's even more than that. That's most certainly true, but I don't even know if you're a Christian at all. You know, if you're not prayerful, you know, so we got to be prayerful. Because that's the way of the master. That's what he taught us. We've got to be prayerful. Examine yourself and see where you are. You know, I mean, and James told us, he said, look, if you are afflicted and things are happening to you, what should you do? You know, today when people are afflicted, when things happen to them, what do? They pick up a phone, call somebody, or they go into depression, or they take a jar of ice cream, chocolate, and sit down and eat. That's not going to help you. When you are afflicted, pray is a prescription that God gives. You know, is any man afflicted? Let him pray. You know, let him pray. So you got to pray. We got to pray. And so there's a lot of affliction around us. We got to pray for our nations. We got to pray for our families. We got to pray against the devourer in our lives. There's so many things we got to pray for. And after I finish this exhortation, we're going to go into those prayers and we'll be calling out those things and we're going to root out. We're going to pull down. We're going to destroy and we're going to throw down principalities and powers. The other day we spoke about open ye the gates. Well, you know, there's some other things we need to pull down as well and throw down as well, casting down imaginations. And every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God in our lives. And the places where devil sat down and said, I sit as a queen. I sit pretty. But we're going to say, thou art Lucifer falling. We're going to call him down and bring him down. Hallelujah. You know, the lofty city, the loftiness of the devil and his imagination against the word of God in our lives. We're going to cast him out today. And over our nations and cities also, you know, believers don't do enough. I mean, we just keep quiet and the evil keeps growing. I mean, nobody is doing anything, you know. I mean, the people of the world, they get up, they protest, they do things and so forth. We don't do anything. We just, you know, most of the time, some people do, God bless their hearts. But, you know, sometimes most people, they just go about their ways. I mean, believers send their children to school. I'm very passionate when I come on this subject. They send their children to school. They teach them all kinds of garbage. You are a taxpayer. You say nothing. They're using your tax money to teach your children garbage, and yet you say nothing. You know, they even teach them against the law. They teach them how to say they are not boys and they are not girls. They are anything they want. And they teach them, you know, how to give their bodies over to fornication and all these things. They teach them evil. They teach them witchcraft, you know, Halloween and all these things. They teach them all kinds of things. You know, yet they are using your taxpayer money and nobody clips up and says anything about it. Look, you have a right to go down there and say, look, I will not have none of that. My child will not be taught any of that. I want to see the curriculum. I will not have any part of that because my child, you know, I'm paying for this. I'm a taxpayer. You know, and if enough people fight those things, something might actually happen. But the point is, you know, we just sit down. But we can fight physically, you can fight in prayer, but we should also fight physically after you pray and you take action. You know, Jesus said, look, here are the things, here's the way to get things from God. You must do three things. You must ask, you must seek, and you must knock. Well, you know, and that's how you spell ASK, ask, seek, and knock. Well, when you ask him in prayer, Matthew 21:22, all things you ask in prayer, believing you receive. Well, sometimes you got to seek, sometimes you got to knock. You got to take action too. Hallelujah. Don't just stand there. You know, this woman that kept going to the judge to, you know, ask, she also took action. She got up every day, you know, and went to the before the judge. She didn't just sit at home and pray, you know. So there are times when we got to sit at home and pray, and we're going to pray today. And at times you must get up and do something about it too. Praise the Lord. Now, David, let me tell you this quickly. David was a man in 2 Samuel chapter 22. Powerful prayer. My goodness. You know, if we can pray like this, you know, and, you know, so powerful. You know, and I've often asked, I say, can your prayer do this? You know, can you make God respond when you pray like he did when David prayed? My goodness. You know, David was a man that knew how to pray. And why did he, how did he pray? Well, look at the way that Jesus, I mean, David used to praise the Lord. You know, that gives us an insight into when we pray, mingle your prayer with thanksgiving and praises. And we can get the high praises of God going. If you can make it about God, we saw the example in Hezekiah making it about God's fight. I taught that in this room many times. And make it about God's fight. You know, save us, O God, from the hand of this Sennacherib, you know, that our lands be not destroyed. No. But he said that all the people of the world may know that you are the God, the very God. So when you make it about God's fight, there's reasons to make God to stand up. And this is the kind of response, you know, that David got. He said, look, I, in my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried to my God, and the Lord did hear me. He heard my voice out of his holy temple. Are you confident that when you pray, God will hear your voice? Absolutely. You know, and he said, look, in God's response, not only did he hear, but God took action. He said, look, my cry did enter into his ears. Then the earth shook. Now, this was the effect of God's, I mean, the one man's prayer called David. You know, God stood up, made the earth to shake. The earth shook and trembled. The foundations even of heaven moved because of David's prayer. My goodness. You know, he said, look, I prayed. Everything, there was a smoke that came out of God's nostrils, fire out of his mouth. Coals were kindled, heaven bowed. I mean, just look at all and on and on, all the things that God did because one man prayed. Well, because he knew what buttons to press. Praise the Lord, you know. So I'm going to leave that there today. I can go on and that, but I want to get into this prayer segment. I'm looking at the clock already and we're at the top of the hour. So that's enough for this part of it, but you get the idea. You know, we are going to go into prayer right now. Today, it's prevailing prayer. And we're only starting it today. We're not ending it today. That means when you leave from here, you go in that same spirit of prayer wherever you are. And God has given us a helper, you know, called the Holy Spirit. Enable us to pray in the spirit. You know, pray without ceasing. The only way you can do it is in the spirit. You know, if you do that and you understand, your understanding will drift. You know, but pray in the spirit. My goodness, you can do it, no?
You're muted again.
Okay, I think I accidentally touched the mute button. So we are going to get into prayer. And I'm not sure what the last thing you heard, but we are going to really get into prayer today and call down the power of God against all the forces. Recognize also when you're praying that there are forces that are trying to block your prayer. The devil has his own council meetings too, just like God does, because he tries to copy everything that God does. You know, he says to his emissaries, well, see how these people are, you know, getting ready to pray right now? Well, go down there and, you know, give them distractions so that they won't pray. See how they are learning that, look, they must pray, you know, seriously. Well, go set, you know, you know, set stumbling blocks, set ambushments, set different things to them so that they won't know how to pray. But the Lord says, well, see how my people are praying and send an angel to strengthen you. God's deal is to strengthen you when you are praying. The devil's deal is to distract you, weaken your hands. You know, when you are trying to build Jerusalem and the walls and rebuild, you send Sambalat and Tobias to weaken your hands, you know, and so forth. So when you're trying to pray, devil will raise things up to weaken your hands so you don't pray. So you must recognize all those things. You know, now as spiritual, you know, warriors, we must also set spiritual, you know, war guards, you know, guard your mind. Don't let the devil, you know, throw things into your mind that don't belong there. Praise the Lord. You know, when we find scriptures to pray about, we're going to use in our prayer, then believe those things that you're praying about. Don't be praying and then not be believing the results. We talked about that yesterday. We were praying for Peter to be released from prison, but when he was released, they didn't believe it if he was released. They said, it can't be Peter. It can't be, must be his angel. Why in the world are you praying for something and then when it starts to happen, then you don't, you know, recognize it? So, you know, we're going to pray. The first prayer we want to take today. I will first pray over the room, and then I'm going to be calling out these prayers. I want you to help get in the prayers and see what the Lord will do for us. You know, if we spend the next hour in prayer, can you imagine, you know, the foundations that we can move, the things that we can pull out? Yes. So, Father, I thank you, Lord. Today we've talked about coming in prayer. That's right. And we're coming today. And we're putting the devil on notice too. We're coming after him. Praise God. We're taking no prisoners. You know, today, Lord, we thank you. Thank you because you've given us the power. You say, I give you power. Luke chapter 10 and verse 19. Behold, I give you power over all the power of the enemy. And nothing. Glory to God. By any means, such you have given you power to tread upon serpents and scorpions. And we're going to tread upon serpents and scorpions today. Father, enable us, Lord, as we go into this prayer time today in the name of Jesus. We're not only going to root out, we are going to, you know, pull down, we're going to destroy, and we're going to throw down all the forces of the devil. Glory to God. In our nations, in our families, over our children, over our own lives, and everything in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we thank you because we know we have the victory in you. We give you, Lord, the praise. We give you, Lord, the glory. Call in now all prayer warriors in the name of Jesus. Lord, let us come together now in prayer and believe God together. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.